Welcome back to the Padre Island Podcast. We're continuing in the Easter season, and I happen to be recording this a little earlier than normal. I'll be going out of town for a little bit, so just trying to get this done ahead of time. We're ready for the fifth Sunday of Easter, which is May the 3rd, 2026. And the passage is John chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're looking for a simple little gospel, I don't think you've really found that here, although there is, of course, always an element of simplicity in what we find in the scriptures. But a little bit deeper is that how can Jesus be one with the Father and yet he's saying, "I am going to the Father"? You know, that can just kind of explode our minds right there. How can both be true? These are sacred mysteries that we're looking at, and Jesus emphasizes certain things to invite us to deepen our knowledge. And as we do so, it deepens our appreciation for the significance of who Jesus is and what he offers. Because as we come to know this, it's less of a chance that we'll just kind of say, "Well, I don't really care." No, it's how could somebody be indifferent about all this when Jesus has words of eternal life? When he is the way to the Father, the way to heaven, the way to communion with the Trinity. One thing that I automatically notice here is the connection with last Sunday with "I am the gate," as he talks about him being the good shepherd and we're the sheep. You could also say the gateway. So to say "I am the way, the truth, and the life," so a gate and a way or a gateway, those are similar concepts. These are images to invite us to see what this means and why it matters. Why does it matter? Because we're all searching. We're searching for meaning, for fulfillment, to be able to rally from certain challenges and setbacks, to find healing in Jesus Christ. And that's the way to fulfillment. He's the gate. And so we continue to go to that place to encounter the risen Lord, so that we can find what we're searching for, and find even greater things than these, greater things that we can dream. So we definitely shift from the Good Shepherd image to now Jesus in the upper room, talking to the disciples. We see Philip, we see Thomas, both having a certain question, and Jesus responds, a certain request, and Jesus responds. just to revisit earlier in the passage about many dwelling places, that it has to do with not just visiting somewhere, but dwelling there, residing, remaining, abiding in God's love. That's going to be the image in the chapter after this. I'm the vine, you are the branches. To remain, to abide. So dwelling places conveys that already. But when we think of some of the other passages, we can see the richness that's here. Also, that Jesus comes back to take us to himself. I suppose he could just not prepare a dwelling place for us and just let us just figure it out on our own. But no, he loves us too much to do that. And also, I suppose he could have said, I'm going to bring you to myself so that you and I can prepare a place. And that'd been fine, but he's going to do something even better. He's going to prepare it before we see it. Kind of like he created the world before any of us were born. And then we get to see it. We grow into this environment, into this world that God has created, in the beauty that's around us, that we can continue to explore. So what these dwelling places mean and what it looks like in heaven, there's a lot we just don't know on that, but that's what makes it so intriguing. We know it's the fulfillment of our deepest desires, and it's a place to abide forever. So it's in our best interest to do our best to respond to what the Lord is saying, to stay close to the risen Lord, to receive forgiveness of our sins, that we might be in right relationship with God. For he is our Lord, and he shows us the Father. Have I been with you for so long that you still do not know me, Philip? So he's inviting Philip to a deeper faith here. Let's see. Do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. So just like a follower of Jesus is an instrument of God's grace, of his peace, Jesus is saying that in a certain sense, he is also an instrument of what God the Father is doing. And if, you know, the way that is true, that's even more reason for us to relate to that in our work, words and actions, that we are instruments of God's love for those around us. You know, if you're a married person and thinking about this, you could say, yeah, you know, I absolutely can see moments that I show up really well in a marriage and times where I really don't and err on the side of harshness or on neglect or just laziness or withdrawing, even if I don't intend to. And hopefully we are able to be self-reflective enough to then humbly say, okay, let's try it different next time. Let's take responsibility and let's access some resources and muster up what we need to better serve one another. And to not become paranoid on that either, to not just completely buckle because we don't know if we can ever do it good enough when it comes to living our vocation and serving our spouse and our children. And if you've been divorced, then you hear this gospel and you think about what you're wrestling with and seeking the good news of communion with God. And here's Jesus here to tell us that he prepares a place for us and he'll take us to himself. So we long for that. When that's absent, that makes it even more of an acute longing, more of a moment that it's very much felt. And those who have had major separation in their life might be able to witness to that better than anybody else. I'm working on tribunal cases, even with the responsibilities I have in parishes. Fortunately, I've been able to mostly stay on track with tribunal cases, continue to listen to their stories, and to seek to respond in a professional and timely way. And that's one way for me to be an instrument of God's love and his mercy and justice, just as I would want that to happen if I was in that position. For we are to do unto others as we would have them do to us. And that's not just something Jesus says at one point in the Sermon on the Mount, but it can help pervade our entire moral code in how we approach our daily life. And then the sacraments, our love of Scripture, all that can interrelate to that. So I know I didn't have a whole lot to say today, but we'll finish it there. Again, we reflected on John chapter 14. We're going to continue from that next Sunday, but for now, we thank God for the gift of the Easter season and the good news that Jesus has to say to us. Let's let that continue to absorb and deepen in our hearts as we seek wisdom from the Holy Spirit and all the other gifts that we need to fully receive what the Lord offers and to better respond to his inspiration. I'm Father Peter O'Donnell, a priest in Abilene, Junction City, in Chapman, Kansas. Thank you for listening today. May God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.